From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Come on, boom to break.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's a brand new day, and another thing that we need to look at is what's going on along the defensive line. We're going to check that out and look at who's on this roster, who might be up for replacement, and what they really should be looking for with the switch to the Spagnuolo 4-3 front. So with us today, you have me from RGR Football and Rogue Analytics, and Chris from Chiefs Digest. And we're going to kind of get into it right now as the week gets off to a slow start. We are patiently waiting for the tag news to see as the period to put the franchise tag on is actually taken advantage of by the Chiefs, particularly in relation to D Ford. So right now, hey, how are you feeling about it all?
Well, it's really just a wait and see approach for me. I expect that they're going to tag Ford. I think it's probably the only option they really have. I don't expect that they would want to sign him long term to a deal right now, but I don't hate the guy either. So just want to throw that out there.
Right. I'm just wondering, it feels like if it were me, I'd want to get that out of the way early. I want to be able to set up the franchise's salary cap table and have something better to work from, towards trying to restructure Houston and, Eric Berry. That's how I feel about both those guys, is they should restructure. But I think if you wait on D Ford, it kind of sets you up into being a little bit more in limbo all the way around.
Well, I definitely expect him to tag D Ford. I don't think that they're going to give him a long-term deal. So I expect this franchise to, well, they may give him a long-term deal eventually, but I don't think they're going to give it to him right away. So I expect a tag will be happening sometime in the next week and a half.
It's kind of my expectation as well. And, you know, I think it'll come sooner than later, and it certainly has an effect on everything else that has to go on in front of him, to the side of him, along the front. And depending on how they line him up, he could be playing next to, if he's on that Leo side, on the weak side, he's going to be out a little bit wider than the tackle, and he's going to have that nose shaded to his side. And I'm very interested to see how they attack the defensive line itself. I think we both feel, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that Alan Bailey has outplayed his contract to the point where someone's going to pay him more than the Chiefs are going to be capable of paying him.
I definitely agree with that, unless he wants to be in Kansas City and is willing to give them a cheap deal. But I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one. I feel like he's going to have to be on the way out. And, you know, honestly, if you're a team that's going to lose your highest paid defensive lineman and one of your starters, shifting from a five-man front to a four-man front is easily the way to go, because you're losing one daily position that has to be out there and fulfilled. So this may be a quite good timing for that aspect of it.
Well, I could definitely see that. You know, with Bailey, I wish they could keep him, but with the way he played this season, he's going to get paid from somewhere.
Yeah, I think he certainly earned another good contract, and it's just probably more than what the Chiefs want to do right now. So obviously, one guy that's not going anywhere is Chris Jones. Easily the force among the interior defensive line on this roster currently, and the guy that I think they are currently working on trying to get extended now. And I like that plan, because it'll let them keep his salary about where it is in terms of next season for 2019, and while still securing him for the future, but keeping that salary cap push off for another season or two. And that allows you to get some other things done. But he's not alone. He's going to be the anchor, but I feel like there's a couple of other guys still on this roster that can play across from him when they only have two interior linemen, and shifting back and forth between the one technique and the three technique in there. And I think Nottie's the guy that I think has to step up and be the starter next season, right?
You would definitely think so. You know, the other question is whether or not Xavier Williams can be that guy, but with the way Nottie played throughout the second half of the season, I would expect that he's going to be the starter there.
Yeah, I have to agree there too, but I like the rotation, especially when you want to have a guy in a one technique. It's still kind of a nose tackle position, because you're likely to get double teamed every play. When you're already lined up in that gap, you need somebody that is still that fire plug kind of guy. So when you have Nottie as the starter, you have Williams as his backup, somebody that you can rotate in there that has a similar body type and demands the effort of a double team. I think that goes a long way. And if you feel like you need to flip them, okay. I mean, Xavier's set to earn, what, $5 million this year, I think it is?
That might be right. I'm not 100% sure. I thought his contract wasn't that heavy, but it could be.
No, I'm sorry. That's total. Yeah, it's 2.5 per year. So that's still a significant enough that you want to get him involved, right?
Yep, absolutely. And there's still a lot of value there. I mean, that's not starter money, but it is money for somebody that can heavily contribute.
Yeah, I like that too. And that's really what it is. It's about contributing. And I think what they did well in 2018 was keep those guys fresh and be able to get on a rotation to help them help themselves. And I think that's something that they're going to have to look at. They're clearly going to have four guys on the roster. I think they're probably going to need five, to tell you the truth, just so that they can do some of the things that they need to do in terms of changing things up on that front. But when we look past that, obviously, it's either going to be Naughty or Williams starting. The other will be the backup. And the other guy that's really a big question mark, I thought we saw sparks from what Justin Hamilton was able to do during this 2018 season.
Yeah. You know, you look at where you're going to have to go, and obviously you're going to pay Chris Jones a lot of money. We're not really worried about that. You know, you have Naughty and you have Williams. You have D Ford on one side. You have Breland Speaks on the other. There is going to have to be another guy, though, at least another guy, probably two or three, at least for this point.
Yeah, I think so. And that brings me, you know, folks, we'll take our first break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about what that means looking forward as to what type of D lineman they have to look at. We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you, the three of us are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time and keep it locked on, Chiefs. So I completely agree with you. They're going to have to add a body. I mean, right now on the active roster, it's just those four guys, assuming that Alan Bailey is going to move on in free agency. So they have to at least stock one, maybe two guys if you want to bring in some competition or you're not 100% sure of Xavier Williams, although I love his story and I want to see him stay in Kansas City. But when you look at going to this Spagnuolo defensive front, do you see a shift in what they should be looking for, not quite the fireplug type guys?
Well, I think you're going to have a shift. You know, if you look at Naughty and if you look at Naughty and Williams, those are going to be your fireplug type guys. You're going to need another guy like Chris Jones, and I don't mean another talent like Chris Jones specifically, although that'd be fantastic if they could find one in the later rounds. But you're going to need somebody that can come in and fill in for him. And I do get that Williams and Naughty, they'll all be able to rotate in the different positions on the interior of the defensive line. But I still think you're going to want a fourth guy there. So I do think it's going to change a little bit the way that they've been looking at players.
I do too. And, you know, I think when we saw from Justin Hamilton a couple of sparks, I feel like he can be a rotational guy. He's still really young. But Chris Jones is the only guy that's over 6'2", I think it is, at this point, between Williams, Naughty, and Hamilton. So that kind of long arm, quick penetration kind of guy, a guy that can use his hand techniques to really jolt the interior lineman and get some penetration. And I think that's really what comes down to at the end of the day is the name of the game is going away from the Sutton front, where it was two gapping, where it was reading where the block was coming from and trying to man two gaps for a single lineman. Going into a position where your responsibility is a singular gap. And I feel like penetrators are more so what they're looking for now. And I think Spagnuolo is going to be very aggressive. And it changes the way that this team has to scout what they're looking for, both in free agency and in the draft.
Wait a second. Did you just say that the defense is going to be aggressive?
No.
Okay.
I'm just exaggerating.
Just double checking.
No, it might be on fire for all I know.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, after what we've seen the past couple of years, an aggressive defense would be nice.
Right. And that particular aspect, tantalizing as it is, comes with its own set of requirements, right? And generally, you're looking for guys that are a little bit quicker, twitch, guys that are not, you know, the behemoth, like 320 pounder type guys, even though Williams, Naughty, even Chris Jones is over 300 pounds, but you can get down to a little bit. You want quicker. You want twitchy. You want jump into that, gap type guys. And you have to look for that, especially on college film, but even in the NFL, guys like Fletcher Cox, guys who can get into gaps and not just necessarily handle a man one-on-one, but really make that offense attack them and draw the double teams and really be a force to get into that backfield.
No, I agree. And like you said, the defensive line is going to have to go through a lot of changes. And, you know, we haven't even talked about the outside guys. We've talked about Ford a little bit, but Brilliant Speaks is really going to be a guy that's going to be interesting this year because he's jumping into a position that really fits his skill set a lot better than last year did, to be honest.
Agreed. Yeah, and I thought when he was coming out, and my particular pre-draft scouting report said that I liked him better out of a three-point stance, and I liked him better inside the tackle because he can use his power in there, whereas he's not the most explosive guy. He's not the fastest first-step type guy. That's D. Ford's job, you know, and I think Speaks is a guy that can handle the strength. He's obviously got bull rush is probably clearly his best move. But one of the few that's actually functional in the NFL to this point. He's got a lot of growing still to do, but I think playing that five technique, the strong side end in Spagnuolo's 4-3 front is something that I think he's much more capable of. And I'm very optimistic about him being able to handle that next season.
Yeah, I definitely think he will be able to. The question is who's going to play behind him? Because, you know, I don't really know that Justin Houston is set up to play that position, and you look at what the Chiefs have, and I don't really know who they're going to have other than Speaks, because Passanio is not going to be a guy that really would fit that position. He'd fit the Leo better, even though I'm not sure he has the speed for it. So lots of questions are going to be, you know, who's going to be the backup in it. And obviously you need to worry about starters, but you're going to have somebody to rotate eventually.
Agreed. Yeah. And it goes from less of the linebacker core to more of the defensive end look itself. And you can, like you said, you can put Ford there. And I think Houston could do it if he was forced to, if they didn't have a better fit for him, and they definitely want to keep him. And again, we're talking about the base defense. When it's down to pass rushing time, they're going to be in that nickel 90% of the time. So really that's going to be back to what we've seen in the past, where if Ford and Houston are both on this roster, where they're the two outside guys lined up wide, I'm really interested to see if they can do something with Speaks more inside, in one of those, penetrating type pass rush, positions in the four man front. Maybe if he's got another year of strength and conditioning at the NFL level underneath him, maybe he and Chris Jones can be that tandem.
Well, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? Because I know they drafted him thinking that he could also play inside from time to time. I don't think you want to see it on a regular basis, but especially in the nickel package, that might not be a bad look for him.
I'm thinking that it may be quite a good one for him because he can do something that he's natural at. It won't be the read kind of thing that Sutton made him do. It'll be much more pinning his ears back and using his athleticism, his aggression, the things that Brett Veach really drafted him for.
Yep. Which also goes to speak and say that, sure looks like Brett Veach was already knowing that they would be moving to a 4-3 sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it does kind of foreshadow that. And maybe that was just, you know, optimistic preparation for the future without knowing for certain. But
I just want to say, I do think that it also, you know, and I know we're not talking about this position group, but I also think it's going to benefit, obviously, Anthony Hitchens, and it's also going to benefit a guy like Dorian O'Daniel as well.
True. I mean, O'Daniel's going to be positioned, especially in the nickel, where he's just going to run and chase and play coverage. But when they're looking at getting some pressure, especially if they have Speaks, Jones, and if they do keep Houston in Ford, that's a heck of a lineup right there. But think about this too. Spagnuolo likes to send the linebackers. And I think what we saw from Reggie Ragland, this might be his biggest strength in terms of playing on passing downs, is that he does have some pass rush skill, especially in the A-gaps. And that may be the one thing that keeps Reggie Ragland on this roster, is his ability to put pressure on a quarterback right up the gut.
It's possible, but he certainly doesn't fit the scheme. We do need to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish up this conversation about the defensive line.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So, do you think that it's worth trying to stack somebody behind Breeland Speak specifically for playing that five technique in the base? Or is it just not enough snaps to really be that important?
I'm not going to say it's not enough snaps to be that important, but what I will say is that they traded for Reggie to make the 3-4 work. I don't know that he's going to be a guy that they're going to be able to really use that much. And he's going to be on the last year of his deal. I don't expect him to get cut necessarily, but it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't play much.
Yeah.
And plays in run heavy downs.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I agree with you. And I'm a big Reggie Ragland.
I like Reggie.
Proactive. Yeah. But like you said, when he had to switch to the 4-3, when he first came into the league in Buffalo, it was problematic for him because he doesn't have a clear role. He's a 3-4 guy. But again, if that's something where it turns into you're going to play your nickel with one blitz linebacker and one cover linebacker, I think Reggie's a guy that can do that. In fact, I'm going to have to look at some of the film and find some of his bigger plays because I think as the year went on, he got some pressure up the middle. He actually played in short zone coverage fairly well.
He is apt to surprise you from time to time. You know, and honestly, I think the bigger thing that's going to affect the linebackers, and I know we're supposed to be talking about defensive line, is the fact that you look at what is the strength of this, or what should be the strength of this team. And I'm sorry, I know Anthony Hitchens did not look good at all last year, but he should be a strength in this defense when you go to a 4-3. And
he should.
I really do think that he will be a much different player this year.
Well, I certainly hope so because it's going to be challenging. You know, Spagnuolo will throw in some zone blitz as well. And that's something where one of the linemen is going to drop out in the coverage. And when you have guys like Ford, Houston, not so much Speaks, but maybe, I mean, he played some of it this last year and certainly Hitchens, you're looking at guys that can get into zones and allow the blitz to come from somewhere else. Now I expect to be a lot of tinkering with this defense along the front to try and get some of that done.
I'm looking forward to it. I just want to see an aggressive defense. And, you know, honestly, we haven't talked about the position group yet, but I'm going to be very interested to see what they do with the corners as well, because when you're talking about aggression, the one thing that drove me nuts is, you know, third and eight and you play off coverage and you're 10 yards off the corner or you're 10 yards off the wide receiver. I just want to see some aggression, press them, try to, you know, get in their face, get in their head and go after it.
And, you know, folks, we're going to do these position reviews here for the next week or two to try to take a look at everything that this roster has to offer right now before free agency. So we're definitely going to be talking about the corners. But up front, it looks like they have the horses to run. They need a couple of pieces, particularly as depth. But I feel like they're in decent shape for making this switch. So we'll let you know if we hear anything specific about any of that. And in the meantime, we're going to keep our eye out for the tag that should be coming eventually. Hit us with any new reviews. Give us some feedback on iTunes. Hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter and let us know what you're thinking about the defensive front. And we'll move on to another position tomorrow. We have some guests coming up that's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you for all of your time. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube. Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.